Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. If you'd like to join the conversation, and hey, it is live radio, so you can. 504-260-0995. Get the phone, make the call.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. That phone number again, 504-260-0995. So, it was just within the last week, net neutrality turned 1 year old. Happy birthday, net neutrality. Actually, the repeal, of net neutrality has passed the 1 year mark. And we're going to go review some of the statistics. There were a lot of predictions made by a lot of people. And one side was saying one thing, the other side was saying the opposite thing. And we're going to go revisit this and see who was right and who was wrong. The fact that it's not plastered all over the media, though, is pretty good foreshadowing on who was right and who was wrong. The media is wrong. But statistics forthcoming. Gregor, I have an issue, though. A friend of mine, he asked me these financial questions because he knows I sit next to you 6 days a week. And some of your financial goodness has rubbed off in spades. But I was at a loss for a certain situation here, so I'm going to run it by you now. Friend said he was checking it on his 401k balance. And it was up 15% over the last few years. I was like, well, that's not bad. So over what span are we talking about? He goes, no, that's the average over the last few years. Wait, you think you've been getting 15% annually on your 401k? Either you have a gangbuster 401k or you're getting it wrong. So I'm thinking he must be counting his contributions in there and hasn't looked and didn't even think to separate that out. Because what if his contributions are 17% of, 401k? Well, he could have lost money as far as the investments go. We just don't know how to gauge it.
Well, he's obviously seeing overall increase of assets, and I believe he is calculating in contribution and or match into that.
Oh, I didn't even think of the match. So, yeah.
A few 401ks let you pick stocks or have a company stock, and he could, have one at the right time, but to do that over a few years, that's really a good number. But when you think about it, if you could have growth along with contributions and that be the number, that is solid growth.
Oh yeah. But look, I understand if in 2017 your investments might have pulled in 15%. But in 2018 the stock market was basically flat, really just a hair in the red. So I'm thinking he has
to. But for that to be compounding with that, that would really be something. But just say somebody had $200,000 in their 401k as a number and were getting 15%. They're talking about in 10 years, you've gone to $800,000.
Oh, that would be incredible.
Yeah. 5 years, you would have doubled your money.
It sounds possible, but not probable.
Yeah, see, I don't know what his income is as such. So let's run the thing a different way. Let's say he averages 5, and let's say he could get in $24,000 a year in contributions, no profit sharing or anything like that. See if what number we hit.
Okay, so you're going on the high end here. That sounds good.
Yeah, just kind of showing a catch up in there and going 10 years. So
you're a spreadsheet master over there, aren't you?
Yeah, still. In 10 years, you don't get to but $640,000. So if we go back and, okay, let's ramp it. Say he averaged 7, half the 15. He's still not getting to $800,000, where if you were compounding at 15% a year. So to go and have, the past 20 years, based on the S&P 500 was a little bit more than 7% average there. So using a 7% number is projecting from that standpoint and doing the contribution. So contributions would have to be even more, and I wouldn't use a 7% number, but let's go back to 6 and say he was getting in $30,000 a year and see if that catches up with still. Well, that's 20. Let's have to go 30. Here we go. Kaboom. Yeah. Still doesn't get to the 800,000 of the 15% compounding on 200,000. So yeah, I'd say that was a stretch. And but when you think about it, that's still, when you compare in reasonable return and putting money in, you are getting solid growth every year. Some good numbers. Just the average person's not sinking in $30,000 a year into their 401k. You know, you're having to max out, catch up, or max out along with matching to kind of get to that number. Maybe have profit sharing into the mix there. And if you look at what market average returns are, you're probably not getting that either, because you're probably having some blend, or you should consider it just instead of going flat out equities, all growth. I'm not worried about the dips or the downside. I'm looking for the long term, and it's always going to work out, you're thinking.
Yeah, that's part
of wouldn't invest that way, but you know, because you're judged by, well, this is what the S&P 500 or this is what the Dow did, but you're not probably hitting that because you're not going to be 100% equities. You're going to hold some cash as such.
Yeah, and that's part of the thing that sort of tripped the red flag for me is, okay, if you're going to get that kind of return, then you have to really be exposed to risk. You really have to be aggressive in chasing it, which tells me that if he thinks he got that in 2017, and if he was...
But what index has averaged that?
Yeah, none. Absolutely none. So I was thinking maybe he just got lucky and got some single stocks in there like you posited.
It's not uncommon to hear that. When they look back and you'll have somebody, well, I'm doing this on my 401k. I don't want to challenge them. I don't say, I doubt that or whatever. If that's what they think, it's okay. I'm not able to do that. I'm not averaging 15% on helping you with your 401k. We're not chasing numbers like that. That can end badly.
Right. And I just know we've had the conversation about where the red flags are when people are promising returns. And, you know, like the people that dupe these football players or basketball stars or movie stars or whatever that we hear about, and they're promising 10, 12% returns. That's a red flag. And so we've had the conversation before. When does it start to be a red flag? And you've said, you know, anytime you're significantly beating the market, you need to start asking more questions above 7%, really. Has sort of been your Mendoza line on red flags.
Well, somebody we'll get you double-digit returns. Right there is a flag.
Right. You've said that before, right, and there. I remember it, and no one's duped me with it since.
You know, portfolios for endowments and pension funds, and all, they're not chasing those returns. When they have, it's ended up ugly for them. We've talked about some over the 9 years that we've been doing this show, and it doesn't end well. If they're trying to do stuff to catch up or they've done a bad job, it's not going to end well. And I think some of them have a 7% expectation, which is a reach in this environment. And that's part of what gets them in trouble. And part of that is they make errors, they're overfunded, and they're chasing. We're not chasing. What we want to have is a reasonable expectation of return that we can add money to the accounts over time and have a reasonable expectation of return, not chasing some big number. You know, it's just like I mentioned at one of the events I spoke at recently, somebody, you know, we do a Q&A and somebody asked that, you know, I heard you talking about on your show, you could get 7% return and not have risk. And I said, you did not hear that on my show whatsoever. It's not possible. You may have heard it somewhere else, but you didn't hear it on my show. And I started walking away, and then I turned around and I said, by the way, if that was possible, we'd be having this meeting in the Superdome and it'd be full. So yeah. And everybody kind of laughed, thought it was funny.
Now, I had the conversation with my friend yesterday, and I've had this conversation probably about 20 times with other friends, where if the market goes up 7% in any given year and you get 5% growth playing like that and from your investments, that is a good year. That is not a failure. You're not supposed to get all 7% because that means you are all exposed to risk. That means if the market had gone down 7%, you would have ate all 7% of that loss, you know? And so when you spread it out and diversify your risk, yeah, you're not going to get all 7% of the growth. But if that market had gone south, maybe you would have only lost 2% instead of 10% or whatever the market did that year. And so it's kind of hard to convince people that if you don't get all the growth, you still had a winning year.
And here's part of keeping balance. And you're not going to get that win every year, even if you go out there and say, well, I'd like to get 6% every year. I'd like to get 5% every year. You're not getting that every year in the market. Now, you can look back and average that, but you are not getting that every year. So when you kind of look at a number to where you look at the market from, 1998 to 2018, 20 years there, you know, the market averaged a little over 7%, but you weren't getting 7% every year. Do the math. Take the market number and look at that. If you were getting 7% every year, it's not the same number on that. So you've got to understand that aspect of the math. So just understand, you're not going to get 5% every year. Now, with your overall portfolio, what you would like to have that consistency, and that's why you don't want to have 100% in equities, because you got to have something else that's going to win for you when the market's unhappy.
If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey there. Welcome to Winning at Life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Awesome Father's Day weekend. You had a great one, James?
Oh, man. I had one of the best Father's Day weekends in a long time.
I really had a good one. It was a great weekend. We had some team training over the weekend, and great Father's Day. Awesome weather. Had a good time. Glad to hear you had a great one. Once again, if you'd like to join the conversation, this is live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. 504-260-0995. Get the phone, make the call.
Hey, we got a couple good calls waiting on us, but real quick, what's your secret on the crawfish boil? What did you do besides just the regular boil? Because I like what you did. It's a little hotter than usual, and that's what I want. I'm very disappointed when I hear about all the hot seafood in New Orleans style, and then it doesn't burn my face off. So I like the little extra burn.
Well, you know, I do that big thing of the Zatarain's powder. Kind of looks like the gold mix.
But that's the standard.
That's the standard.
Right.
But I add more. Okay. So I get another bottle of the small bottle of the liquid crab oil, not the concentrate, but the regular. And then I add in another small container of cayenne pepper.
Yeah, I saw the two bottles. Is it a liquid cayenne pepper?
No, there's a cayenne pepper, you know, that's the powder? The red powder.
Okay.
Yes. And another liquid of the boil mix.
You're not down with the mushrooms though, huh?
I just forgot them. They're big. I forgot them.
Well, let the record show that Gregory Ricks can do a boil, ladies and gentlemen. It was fantastic. It was great. I almost never get to spend Father's Day with my parents, and they were able to come down this weekend, and it makes a big difference. Just, you know, we didn't really do a whole lot. Just the fact that they were there, they were sitting next to me at lunch, and then I got to hang out with them at my house and stuff. We didn't even do anything. It just makes a huge difference that they're there. All right, now the phones are starting to load up. Forget the small talk. Let's go to Matt Hammond. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Matt?
Yeah, my wife has a IRA that she had got with the retirement money from her old job. She opened an IRA. And my question is she gets a statement every year. And this year she got it in and she had a loss. Is that common? Is that normal?
Well, it depends on how it's invested. But in 2018, the S&P 500 was down that year. So that wouldn't necessarily be an uncommon number. There.
Gotcha.
Once again, depending on how it was invested.
If it's common for that RA to lose every year, should she look at putting it somewhere else or maybe with another firm or something?
Did it lose in 2017?
Yeah, this is the second year that she had a loss.
This is on for you. So, not the most common thing in the world, Matt.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, you kind of know what to do if you're asking that question. But look, it once again depends on how it's invested. Now, we can go back to, let me just pull up something here real quick to you. And let's see if I've got, here we go. So here's an example of the, if we go to 1999 and look at the market, and this is based on Vanguard, 1999 up 21.07, 2000 minus 9.06, 12.02 negative, then 02, 22.15, then 03 was up 28.5. I don't know what that average is, but there are some negative numbers, and overall the count was down slightly. You can have periods there, but once again, if everything was invested that way, I think it should be blended, but you have to take those periods and understand the market and all these indexes and the strategies does not mean they go up every year. You can take bonds. If you started with bonds over that same period of time using a Fidelity total return fund, that first year, you'd be down a little bit. But then the next 4 years, you would be up. Now, if you blended that together, that might have averaged better for you. I haven't taken that period and done a 50-50 blend, but just understanding those concepts. And that's why I don't, and most people, even though they say they can take risk or looking for, I'm putting it all towards equities, I'm going to, but you have to understand there's going to be negatives in that. Thank you for the call.
Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Just real quick, it's just so hard to make blanket statements about IRAs because they're really just a tax classification.
Yeah, it's a tax classification. Nothing wrong with IRAs. IRAs are great because they grow tax deferred. A Roth IRA can grow tax free. Well, the money comes out tax free if you follow a couple of rules. So, but it's how is it invested? And there could be a number of styles actually inside of that IRA. I can't give a blanket statement, but I know what our philosophy and tweaks that we have made is in order to create an experience where they have a higher probability of increasing every year. I don't want somebody to come in and be 100% equities. And we have allowed some to do. We are not doing that anymore. We're going to, we blend portfolios to increase the probability of a better outcome.
There you go, Matt. All right, let's do Lynn in New Orleans. You're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Lynn?
Yes, I wanted to find out. I was supposed to open an IRA account for myself and my husband. And I was just wondering, you know, at the market right now, would it be wise to be a risk taker?
Define risk.
Hello?
Yeah, define risk for me.
Because I was speaking to a financial advisor, and he was saying that, to invest in stocks and bonds and stuff like that, like mutual funds.
Well, mutual funds are a diversified way to go. You're getting a bit of diversification. You could probably get a mutual fund that has equities and bonds in there as a mix. You know, I kind of like a blend of both, but both are risk. Equities are going to have a higher risk number than bonds in most cases, but we're not talking about risky bonds. Or let's define them as high yield has a higher risk number than some other conservative bond. Muni bonds, lower risk than corporate bonds. But what you're getting is a blend there to where you've reduced some of your risk, but both have the ability to move up and down. And that's when...
What's the three bond risk?
Interest rate risk, credit risk, and default risk. And both have the ability to move. So when you're kind of saying to take risk, that's what you're doing with both of those. It just depends on your blend at what level that risk is.
Uh-huh. So, I mean, I have a pretty high income right now. And I was wondering, would it be better to do the traditional IRA or the Roth?
Well, it depends on, once again, there's a threshold to where if you make so much money, you can't contribute to a Roth. So it depends on that income level that you're at as part of the circumstance there. Do you have a 401k?
No, I don't.
With your employer. So it's like you're self-employed then?
Yes.
Yeah. So there's a number of things that you might look at besides that as far as, you know, maybe a SEP plan, a solo 401k, as well as your Roth and IRAs. There's a number of things you need to look at in your overall planning, and you probably need to figure out what your actual risk is. It's not a general statement saying, oh, you make a lot of money, you're 35, you've got a long time, you should take some risk and invest in these mutual funds. We want, from our standpoint, we want that defined a bit more so that you understand how this has worked historically and have an understanding of going forward and work to increase your probability of success.
What do you think, Lynn?
I guess to kind of give me an idea that I should be a little bit conservative and, you know, instead of just saying take a, you know, like being risky, be kind of diversified and conservative also. Yeah. I guess I have to really think about it because I'm supposed to meet with my financial advisor and make a decision on what to do. So I'm kind of getting an opinion before.
Well, what I might suggest you do is actually get a second opinion. Be a reason to call my office and talk with my team. And you can ask for us to send you out a risk test as well, and see what your risk number is.
And you have so many options because you're self-employed. We just talked about this on Saturday, how limited W-2 employees are with some of the avenues they have. Yours is wide open,
another
but it's
question,
really complex.
Another question to ask, is your person actually an advisor, meaning a fiduciary? You know, be careful on throwing around that term. Also might be a discussion as well.
All right. Thank you very much, Lynn. All right. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. That's 504-260-0995. If you have a question about your IRA or 401k or your investments, we just had two good ones in a row here. We'd love to do you next. And it really is. It's almost the opposite of what we were talking about on Saturday, because we were talking with Jude Heath on the show about the limitations of being an employee of someone else. But, the world gets a whole lot bigger but more complex if you're self-employed. So, hey, we're going to talk a little bit about Gregory's event coming up tomorrow. But if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, we'll talk to you as well. 504-260-0995. That's 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, how you doing? It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is The Money Show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory Ricks is a financial advisor. He's across the table from me. So if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, it could be about your taxes. It could be about your investments, your retirement planning. It could be about your Social Security, your IRA, your 401k, whether or not to buy a car. You're caught up in debt. Give us a call, 504-260-0995. You got a live event coming up tomorrow. This will be another Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience. And you've been having so many events lately. Let me just nail it down. The one tomorrow is the one in Metairie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Ruth's Chris in Metairie, Wine, Wisdom, and Food Experience. Last I checked, it was full.
Yep. Last I checked, it was full. But, you know, you don't know what might happen in the morning. Might be a couple seats open up or something like that. If you'd like to attend that, looking to find out some information, maybe make a move. Are you doing the right thing? We're going to have a little fun, talk about some wine, give you some wine tips, some foodie tips. We're pairing wine with food and with money. So we'll talk a little bit about our guided planning system, our money management philosophy, how to smooth out volatility. Wes Blanchard is going to share some tips on estate planning as well.
Yeah,
it's at 6:30 tomorrow. You would need to be there about 6:10.
And don't feel bad if you get on the waiting list, because the next event is going to be sometime in July. We'll be talking about that more later in the week. So you wouldn't even really have to wait that long. But go ahead and call the office if you're interested in that. And
well, you're probably going to have to wait. But if you'd like a chance to get in, I always believe best opportunity is now.
So are you changing up any of the wine pairings? Are you still doing the port at the end with the chocolate?
Oh, you know, I like the port with the chocolate. It's a fun tasting sensation we do it then. Look, all wines aren't the same. We're serving different types of wine with each course, and there's a sparkling to start with. But I like finishing up with a port and a ridiculous chocolate cake.
Ridiculous.
Yes.
These are technical foodie terms, y'all.
Yes.
But I've noticed.
It's the most awesome cake you'll ever put in your mouth.
Everyone thinks with a so, port. Believe me. But I noticed a couple of changes have happened here and there, but that the finish hasn't changed.
Well, it could probably, we change the port sometimes, but it's going to be a port.
Here's what I recommend, by the way. If you're going to an event like this or any other sort of wine tasting, or if you're going to a fine dining experience and you find a wine that just really hits you between the eyes, pull out your phone and take a picture of the label. Like this is that's one of the information gathering luxuries that we have with the smartphone era. How many times you catch yourself taking pictures of labels now? Because it was almost by accident. When I got old enough, I started needing reading glasses. I started taking pictures of labels so I could put them in my phone and then zoom in on them and read the teeny tiny print. You know what? If you got to read the ingredients or how many calories or how much sugar is in something, you know, the carbs. It started by that, but then I had a nice little collection of labels on my phone that I found useful. So if you're going to a wine, wisdom, and food experience, that's a little tip from old Parker over here. Find a wine you like, take a picture of the label, you have it forever.
I find myself taking pictures of a lot of things.
All right.
Most anything. Get a picture of that. Shopping, get a picture.
Ready for the numbers?
I've got about 10 books I was at this place, and yeah, it's foodie and wine books. I was taking pictures because I was traveling and couldn't be where I could buy them or anything. Like, I want to tote around 10 books while traveling.
Right.
But I was taking a whole bunch of pictures. Now I got to get back to getting that order done.
All right, so if you want to go to the experience tomorrow or at least get on the waiting list for the next one, worst case scenario, you'll have to wait a month. It's 504-832-9200. That's the office number. Or you can go to gregoryricks.com.
The number.
Hey, welcome to the number segment on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you are out winning it life. Follow along on the exact same charts and graphs we're looking at. Download the Winning It Life app and you'll find the numbers page there. And it seems the big story of the day was the market is looking forward to the interest rate decision from the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, on Wednesday. And the talk of the town was they're starting to bake in the cake the idea that there very well may be a rate cut. And part of that is the reason why we see all the indices on the short sheet, all five of them. We just talked about the big three the most, but they were all up. All five of them were up, though. The Dow Jones was up by 0.1%. S&P was up by 0.1%, NASDAQ up 0.6%. The Russell 2000 was up 0.7%, and even the lowly Wilshire 5000, the broadest measure we have, was up 0.2%. A lot of volatility today, but started with an uptrend, ended with a downtrend, but overall pretty positive there.
Yeah, one of the reasons, you know, the June 18th, 19th, meeting, so that would put us at Wednesday, but this meeting is associated with a summary of economic projections. You know what they've done in the past when they have made a move? It's when they have that podium there with a mic. That doesn't happen again until September if they don't do that here. So just knowing it's non-existent for the past few years that they make a move without the podium. So just wanted to put that out there. Let's see. 10-year treasuries is where we're at. We moved up a little bit, 2.093 on the yield. Just to update you on the Germany's 10-year, it's still negative 0.242 for those that are counting. And Japan's is still negative 0.122. Crude oil doesn't move much. $51.88 we're showing as the last. Brent crude, the good stuff, $60.97. So if anything, you've seen the two narrow a little bit.
They're not freaked out by this whole Streets of Whore Moves thing because in addition to what we talked about on Saturday, they tried to shoot down one of our drones over Iran, and I think a drone was successfully shot down over Yemen. Do I have that correctly?
But they're not shipping oil in those, so...
It used to be anytime something exploded in the Middle East.
Yeah, but, you know, you shut down a drone, try to shoot, that just shuts down our surveillance. Now we're handicapped.
No.
Totally handicapped, but there.
It's just never been rational in the past. Any excuse for the oil markets to get spooked, they used to jump, but since most of the reduction's coming from us, don't care as much, do we?
Didn't bother the gold. Gold does not care either. It's $1,342.80. Silver didn't care either. It's $14.81.
That is so weird how we're just shrugging it off these days. I love this new paradigm we're living in. Going over to the short sheet, there was a bunch of winners over here. Most of them were on the top of the charts, the FANG stocks, as we call them. Facebook's just rip-roaring. It was up 4.2% today. Apple was up 0.6%. Amazon up 0.9%. Netflix up 3.2%. Alphabet's up 0.6%. Microsoft up 0.3%.
Well, what about Amazon? I heard they're grossly underpaying their employees. They can't eat.
You know, I thought about talking about that on the show, but there's no way we can do that without getting political.
We're not getting political, but yeah. I was just saying, they, you know, a politician kind of, you know, hated on them a little bit. And they're up today 0.88%.
Well, so look, the criticism.
A lot of winners. Boeing, you know, acknowledged some problems, and they're up 2.23%. Lulu just keeps winning, up 3.75%.
Now, have you heard of Amazon Spark? Remember Amazon Spark?
What is that?
We mentioned this on a show 2 years ago. Amazon Spark was supposed to be Jeff Bezos' answer to Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest.
How's that working for him?
They just announced that they're closing up shop on Spark this week.
Well, that's one of the problems. I didn't know about it.
Yeah, well, look, how would you know?
Most didn't, that's why.
But look, Amazon was still up today, though.
Was it like a battery store or something?
It was supposed to be. It looked a lot like Pinterest, where you go in and you tell it like 5, 10, 15 things that you're interested in, and then you'll see what other people are pinning up. But it was supposed to be a shopping site, because you've seen Instagram and Facebook get into the shopping space. Facebook
Market. Well, how about I go post some things I want? Maybe somebody will buy them for me. How about that? And then people could post stuff that they want to buy me.
One of the problems was that would only work if you're an Amazon Prime member. If you're not an Amazon Prime member, you can go shop around, but you couldn't post anything to sell. So they kind of limited their own entrance in it, and they eventually just pulled the plug this week. And
could make Mother's Day, Father's Day, holiday shopping if we put stuff up there. Here's some ideas.
504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Well, I can't fix that. No, but I can fix
Winning at Life. Download the app. Free download. You can text, call us, email us from the app. Connect with the show. Become a part of the Winning at Life Nation. Just a one-time login. That's all. You're listening to Winning at Life. This is live financial news talk radio. You can join the conversation. There's a few minutes left. Here's the number. You ready? Get the phone. Make the call. 504-260-0995. You can email info@gregoryricks.com also if you have any questions for the show.
So, Gregory, on Saturday's show, we talked to Jude Heath about people who get behind on their taxes. And one of the stories that we used to sort of set up the scenario was this guy who is in Iowa. And this is a story from the Des Moines Register where he's 34 years old. He owns his own Tex-Mex place, but he got a little behind on the taxes. And he owed more than $100,000 in state sales taxes. And it just came down to end of the month, he didn't have enough money to both pay his employees and pay the IRS, so he thought he'd
shorted the employees.
No, he shorted the IRS. You know, he was going to be a bad guy either way, but under the scenario, you don't have to look the IRS in the face immediately like you do the employees. So he's in trouble. Looks like he's facing prison time here, and the gap is about $120,000 is what he owes the IRS. But seeing as how there's a mugshot where he's in the little stripy suit there, I guess in Iowa they still use the striped suits. I'm not saying I feel sorry for the guy.
Federal prisons in Iowa.
Oh, I guess that makes sense as well, huh? Do they do the stripy suits in federal prison?
I don't know. I haven't been to one.
We should go visit one.
I don't watch them on TV either. I don't want any connection.
Well, my wife loves those
shows.
Anything
like that. That is crazy.
So he properly paid his income and sales tax when the business started, but when business went down, he got behind. And I can just see how this scenario could happen where someone, even with the best intentions, if you just don't have the money to pay, what are you supposed to do? I mean, I guess it's easy for me to say, well, first things first, you need to close up shop and stop losing money. But he wanted to keep the ball rolling. And, you know, there's similar stories that pop up on the show every once in a while. People call in and they're like, man, I hadn't paid my taxes in a couple years and whatnot. I just love listening to you talk to another financial professional. There was Jude Heath, the CPA, in studio with us. And hearing you guys go back and forth, it kind of reminds me that while this situation is tough and it's easily explained, not the same as an excuse. There's an explanation, not an excuse. I just have a feeling there's people who are listening to this show right now who are in a similar situation, if not this exact situation. And y'all were very optimistic and sort of hopeful. Hey, you know, there are avenues to get right with the law. It doesn't have to be some sort of black cloud that's following you around like Ziggy on the calendar.
It is a black cloud if you're ignoring it, just like on tax returns. It's something you know it's a problem, and it's just back there. And it's better if you get started doing something about it, because it doesn't get better without doing something about it. It's actually getting worse.
And the verbiage that Jude Heath uses is so crucial, because it is a different scenario when you go to them once you're behind, instead of making them come after you. Once they come after you, the playing field is tilted and shifted a little bit, and they're not so nice about it. They're a little more forgiving if you're the one who initiates the contact and tries to make yourself whole.
I agree with that. I think it's better to be proactive and work on it.
So if you're in that situation, you may want to go listen to Saturday's podcast.
They're not going to forget about it, and they will start coming after you once they figure it out. So it's better to be proactive and go ahead and get this knocked out. I would say they're probably going to be reasonable.
They don't want to put you in prison. They want the money. That's what they ultimately want, you would think.
I'd say they don't want to put you in prison. They just want the money,
because that actually costs them more money, right? Then you're even
and
more.
They're not getting it either.
So what do you think about the statistic here that there was an outflow of cross-border investment? The combined Russia-China treasury holdings hit a 9-year low, and foreigners keep dumping stocks. This makes me think of the continuing context that we've had on this show, where it was interesting, something you were watching in 2017, how so many central banks were buying so many of our treasuries, and how so many central banks in Europe were even buying into our stock market. We're starting to see the reversal of some of that, and they're unloading.
Remember, that's a little worrisome.
What was the statistic on for the Swiss central bank? They had something to the order of like $30,000 in stock per citizen, or it was a huge,
big number.
Well,
a lot of buying.
They keep changing their mind. If you see the little chart here that we got from Zero Hedge, this is when they're buying, this is when they're selling, this is when they're buying, this is when they're selling, this is when they're buying. They couldn't make up their minds. And it looks like we're kind of on a downdraft right now. No reason it can't turn around almost immediately. But we're seeing the Chinese holdings of U.S. treasuries back down to where it was about the time of the last election there. This is where the election happened, and then you see the upswing. We're almost back down to there. Any of this have cause for concern in the halls of Gregory Rickson Associates?
No, it's ebb and flow.
Yeah, because then you have the Saudis. They've increased their holdings of U.S. treasuries. And, you know, I feel like I'm looking for the light switch in the dark on trying to understand why 10-year treasuries, what are they at, 2.09%?
Yeah, just what it tells you is there's been a lot of buying of those. There's worse places you can put your money, so those worst places, money's being taken away where there's low confidence, and U.S. treasuries are a high confidence area.
I don't quite understand what's going on with the storyline, but I think something funny might be happening, because China has been dumping all of these treasuries as of late, and the people who've been swooping in to buy them, they're more numerous than what China's getting rid of, because the interest rate's going down.
Yeah, China may need the money.
They may need the money.
Why do you think they're taking it?
They may be trying to punish us, but it's not working because there's someone there to gobble them all up. I don't know, but these charts have me fascinated. because China's dumping, but the Saudis are buying, and there's more buying than dumping. So I don't know if China's making the right play here. And then one of our buddies who's been a regular on the show, Shaquille O'Neal. It's good to see this guy making some money. Did you see his latest deal that was announced earlier today? He is going to be the new face of Papa John's Pizza. The original John Snatter got in trouble for something.
I thought that was already in the works.
It was in the works.
That isn't a surprise to me.
Yeah, but the company disclosed in an SEC filing earlier today that Papa John's will pay Shaquille O'Neal's company, ABG Shaq, a total of $4.125 million over the next 3 years in an endorsement deal. It also covers all his expenses related to marketing, grants him stock in the company. And Shaquille O'Neal also had to make public that he's invested almost $900,000 in Atlanta area Papa John's restaurants.
Oh, he owns a bunch of them over there, yeah.
Yeah, and nine of them, he owns a 30% ownership stake.
Well, I thought he already, I don't know, I kind of took it as the face of the company, but he's going to be the front man in advertising. But him taking a big position in the company was something super positive. And one of the best basketball sellers out there, a guy that played basketball turned salesman. And what does he have going for him? Have you seen him when he does a commercial? It's a big smile. He has that winning smile.
He so smartly crafted his public persona from day one. He never got in trouble. You find out years later he's been doing all kinds of charitable things behind the scenes. He's been volunteering with the Florida police to catch child predators and a couple other initiatives like that. He's just been such a good guy. It's great to see that this pays off like this. And it's also funny to see that this contract sounds a lot like a basketball contract. This is a 3-year contract with an option for a 4th year where he can keep going at the exact same rate, but if both parties agree to it. So it's a 3-year contract with a 4th year option.
I think it's a win-win for them. Happy salesman, smiling guy that is invested in the business, loves the business.
Good pizza, too.
Yeah, awesome. Hey, if you'd like to know more about what I do in my day job, I'm a financial advisor, money manager, seeker of where you are on the path. That's part of our guided planning system, our process. How can it help you? We talk about investment planning, income planning, estate planning. Well, legacy planning is probably how I should define that, and health planning also. We work in all these areas with you to give you guidance and help you win with your money. For more information, call my office, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com.
Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Go there. You can listen to all of our shows 6 days a week live or via podcast on demand. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks and Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during this show shall constitute tax or legal advice. Our firm is not affiliated with or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks and Associates. For podcasts and more information, go to gregoryricks.com or call 504-832-9200. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.